Welcome to Pulling Back the Curtain, hosted by pop culture enthusiast Kaylee Davis. Pulling Back the Curtain is a podcast where I, along with a special guest, pull back the curtain on different elements of pop culture and expose how deep white supremacy really runs throughout American media. Today's episode is about Marvel's most recent show, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Our special guest joining us over Zoom today is my close friend, Madison Nichols. Madison, before you jump into the episode, please tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so my name is Madison Nichols. I'm one, like Kaylee said, one of her close friends. I'm very into activism, social activism, political activism, really into pop culture. So yeah, I'm excited to be on the show today.
I'm really happy that you're excited to be on the show. The first thing that I'd like to ask you is, what do you find interesting about The Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
I really like the portrayal of American militarization into how it, like, how citizens, like, what is the word I'm looking for, view it in a different way, and like how it can be viewed between like just two superheroes fighting to like defend America or and like unnecessary intervention in different countries. And I really like how like the show brings that topic up, and like the battle between the Flag Smashers and the American government.
I think that's a really great answer, and actually that does tie into a question that I plan on asking you later. What are some differences that you've noticed between the portrayal of Bucky Barnes versus Sam Wilson?
I feel like portrayal between Bucky gets a lot, I know it's like dependent on character or background. He was like forced into basically and servitude, like in murder by Hydra, but I feel like Bucky gets a lot more exploration into his own personality and his own traumas. And I feel like with Sam, Sam isn't really afforded that opportunity. Like in Captain America Civil War, like when he's Sam Wilson is introduced, he brings up how he lost a friend in the war, and I feel like that's very much glossed over. I feel like Sam has to be, is like treated as the comedic outlet rather than like a genuine person and has, who has his own trauma. So I feel like that's one of the major differences between Bucky and Sam.
That's very interesting. And what do you think is the root of Marvel kind of pushing the comedic relief trope, I guess, onto Sam rather than other characters?
I feel like it's in part because I want to say that it's a part because of the actor Anthony Mackie is a very genuinely, like, he's a funny person, so I feel like he kind of bleeds through his character. But I also feel like subconsciously people need to always look at, like, not to, like, a minority is always played as somebody that has to set aside their own trauma for the sake of like the enjoyment of the viewer. But I feel like a lot of times, like I said earlier, I feel like a lot of times Sam and his character is often pushed aside because the directors or the show or just the audience needs somebody that isn't taken as seriously. And I feel like minorities is often used as a scapegoat for that. So I feel like that's partially why as well.
That, yeah, I agree with that. I feel like Sam, and also because there's kind of a, I don't know how to put this, but like being Black, like you're already seen as being outside of the default, right? And the default is white. So like everything about you already seems kind of odd, which I find makes it easier for people to like make fun of you or find you hilarious even when you're just being yourself. Like that's why we see so many Black people influencing like meme culture, you know, like Nicki Minaj and what was that thing, Wu Chao, anyway. So like, and just the whitewashing and the appropriation of African American vernacular English, excuse me. And you know, I know what you're trying to say here.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's in part because like you said, how like Black is seen as like the outside of the default, so it's easier for somebody that's the inside looking out to be like, this is just something that's wacky and fun, and this is something that's fun to dip into every once in a while when I want to feel exotic or I want to feel different from the rest of the people that I usually would identify with. And I feel like that's why why Black people in general just contribute so much to comedy is because we are always viewed as something else outside of the normal anyway.
That's very, very insightful of you. And I'd like to ask, do you think by not addressing the racism present in its fan base that Marvel is responsible for the mishandling of Sam Wilson's character by fans?
I really believe in that, because like support that idea, and like because the Marvel fan base, it's like any fandom, it has its good sides and its bad sides, but the bad sides really do get bad. And I feel like by not, like, they attempt to address racism in itself, like how like police brutality and how they played it into the argument between Sam Wilson and Bucky Barnes and how the police profiled Sam. But I feel like it comes off very performative, because they also do so many things that, and what is the word I'm looking for, minutely support racism or like xenophobia. And it's just like I would relate that to how poorly Sam was treated in the show, because it's right. Like you can be performative all you want, but in the end, if you're just scratching at the surface, you're not going to get to the core issue, and the core issue is what's going to make it seem less like you're doing it because, oh, this is the political climate and I don't want to get canceled, or I want to look like I'm doing the right thing for the right group of people. So yeah.
Okay, so it feels like all of the addressing of racism that they do in the show is very much on a surface level, and they refuse to dig any deeper than that.
Yes.
Which is what makes it feel performative.
Definitely.
Okay. And do you think, what are some ways that white supremacy has permeated the characters of both Sam and Bucky?
Ooh, so I definitely feel like how the whole situation with how who gets the shield is handled, I feel like white supremacy plays a part into that, because I feel like the whole show essentially is Sam Wilson fighting for the shield, because obviously if you watch the end of Endgame, Steve Rogers hands Sam Wilson the shield, even though Bucky and Sam are there, he hands Sam the shield. So the whole show is basically Sam fighting for the title of Captain America. And I feel like, I don't know how I can describe this, but Sam is fighting for something that he shouldn't even have to fight for,
right? Because it was handed to him. He earned it.
He obviously, Steve sees Sam as the better candidate for the position, but the whole show is basically Sam fighting for this position, when in all actuality the show could have been just Sam struggling with Captain American duties, like how balancing his personal life with being Captain America, but they made Sam struggle with the shield. So that's like a thing with Sam. And as for Bucky, I feel like white supremacy benefits Bucky in the sense of Bucky did all of these cruel, like Bucky was a murderer, Bucky mm-hmm. he was brainwashed, but he did murder a lot of people, he did contribute, he killed JFK, like he did some pretty major things. But I feel like because Bucky is seen as docile, and he's seen as less aggressive, more palatable, and definitely more palatable because he is white. And it's nothing against Sebastian Stan, but because Bucky is a white character, of course, the majority white fan base that is Marvel is going to accept Bucky better, and the directors are going to make Bucky seem more childlike
in the mm-hmm. sense he's definitely infantilized. And I think that's kind of interesting, because earlier you brought up how Bucky was given the opportunity to process his trauma on screen, mm-hmm. and we see Bucky undergo therapy, yes. In the show, but Sam is never allowed that. In fact, Sam is introduced to us as somebody who runs a support group for veterans. Mm-hmm. So Sam is one who offers emotional support, and he's one that counsels people through their grief and through their trauma. And we never get the opportunity to see anybody do that for Sam.
Yes.
And also, it's kind of weird, because in that way that we see Bucky undergo emotional changes and unlearn his defense mechanisms and then process his traumas. In that way, they kind of made Sam a side character in his own show.
Definitely.
And then the white fan base, that doesn't help either, especially because, look, Sebastian Stan, he's very hot. He's very attractive.
Yes.
And so, like, it makes it really, even though, like, look, everybody here knows what I think about Anthony Mackie, okay? And by everybody here, I mean you and me.
Yes.
We can keep that off the screen because this is a school project, but, like, it's very easy to overlook Sam and, well, Anthony Mackie, because he is black, and because he's black, you know, next to a white person, who they're gonna look at first?
Yeah.
The white dude. So yeah, that's very interesting that you brought that up. And then going into another aspect of the show, we're talking about the Flag Smashers. The Flag Smashers are I guess they're like extreme leftists who believe in unifying the whole world the way that it was during the aftermath of the blip, whenever half of the population was missing. And then we see them kind of being portrayed as anarchists who don't have any regard for human life. And I'd like to ask, how do you feel about that? Like, how do you feel about the portrayal of the Flag Smashers?
Well, obviously, Marvel needed, for the show, they needed, like, a villain. They needed a villain. They just needed a villain. They needed somebody that would unite the main cast against this one evil. And the way that they decided to make a leftist organization seem like, and, like, what is the word? Like, they seem very disillusioned with peace. And I feel like that is, Marvel tends to go deep into, like, militarization, capitalism, funding the military for war, benefiting from the war and benefiting from the weaponry used in war. Like, that's, like, the entire plot of, like, Iron Man. Like, that's Iron Man's thing. He gets money from guns. So I feel like Marvel already has a problem with, capitalism and military in general. So they have to set something as the antithesis of that. So the antithesis of that would be leftist organization. So the way that they made Carly a disillusioned murderer who would bomb innocent civilians for the sake of her goal, it kind of took me out of the plot a little bit, because I'm like, I don't identify with capitalism at all. So seeing somebody that shares my general, like, ideals, like, I do believe that everybody in the world should have peace, like, world peace is obviously something that I dream for, but to see that the way that the only people that are going for world peace are going about it in a way of murder and threatening and all that stuff, it seems very it seems very Cold War. It's giving me very much Cold War energy. And I feel like us as a country, like the United States as a country, tends to, in our media, we tend to vilify Russia too, and just communism and all that stuff very harshly. And I just feel like it's just one of the products of, like, Cold War propaganda against communism and leftism in general. So, yeah.
I agree. And I also think that it's kind of weird that they decided to pin Sam, who is black and does benefit from leftism, you know, leftist beliefs, they decided to pin him against a leftist organization because he's supposed to be fighting for the title of Captain America, you know, and because he wants to be the hero, and right now the Flag Smashers are the villains, he has to go directly against the Flag Smashers. And I just think that that's very odd, especially since they make him sympathize with Carly. I don't think the sympathizing, I don't think that's odd, but I do find it, I thought that was really hurtful during that scene where he's talking to Carly, because Carly just lost her parental figure, Mama Donya, and he's at the funeral and he's talking to Carly about what she's doing and how she could do things differently and how Sam is actually on her side, but because she's killing people, he can't work with her. Yeah. And then we see John Walker, the man who has appropriated the Captain America title. We see him interrupt that moment. I find that very, I don't know. Like, I just feel like that was very meaningful, but in like a negative way, you know? Yeah. And then in that same episode, we see John Walker kill somebody to avenge his friend, and he murders them with the shield. I think that the way that they are characterizing Carly in like opposition to Captain America, who right now is John Walker, like, mm-hmm. as we're speaking about this episode.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of weird how they're juxtaposing each other more than Sam and Carly are, even though she is supposed to be the antagonist here. And, you know, yeah. Whenever you see a protagonist and antagonist, you want them to be more different than alike, because if you see that they're too similar, you want them to kind of get along, you know? Yeah. And that's what I found myself wanting with Carly and Sam.
Yeah. I agree.
And then, well, I have questions listed, and I was gonna ask, how do you feel about Marvel portraying pro-military right-wing ideals? But you already talked about that. Yeah. So I'm proud of you. Good job.
Yeah.
You
were
Gold star. How do you feel about like the moniker of Captain America? Like, do you feel like John Walker embodies that at all, or no?
I feel like John Walker embodies what Captain America would have been if Steve Rogers wasn't the first Captain America. Because Steve Rogers, like, his thing is that nobody else is like Steve Rogers. Steve Rogers is selfless to a fault. He is the poster boy of America, blonde hair, blue eyes, Christian. Catholic. Irish immigrant descent. He's like the poster child of what an American citizen, especially for the 1940s, should be. He is America in a bow. So I feel like John Walker, in all reality, nobody else could be like Steve Rogers. So that's why when John Walker became Captain America, it was very jarring. So I feel like John Walker is what Captain America would most likely be, but it's not what Captain America should be. So he embodies, it's like, he's not the ideal, but he embodies, like, in all reality, this is probably what we're going to get if we ever had a Captain America, like, a war hero, yeah, but with some very not-so-hero-esque ideals and actions.
And I can find myself, you know, okay, so I agree with what you just said, and also, I feel like John Walker is like modern day Captain America if we never had Steve. Like, I agree with that. Cause he is very, like macho, very pro America, very imperialist, you know, like our way is the right way. That's what I feel, John Walker embodies as Captain America. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely an ideal that we see very present during this day and age. And obviously it was around during the 40s, but like right now, I feel like he is a very modern example of like what people want to see as Captain America. Like, we want to see this ideal embodied by somebody who is supposed to be the unifying picture of all of us, you know? And then I think John Walker has more similarity to Iron Man than he does to Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
And then you can see, okay, and also like the difference in Steve and John is they brought this up, I think, in the first episode whenever they were talking about how John isn't worthy of the shield. Sam and Bucky, they were telling John that he's not worthy of the shield, and they asked him, have you ever jumped on top of a grenade? Because that's something that Steve had done, and that's something that he was kind of notorious for, I guess. He jumped on top of the grenade, and John says, yes, I have, actually. It's a whole thing that I do with my fortified shield, and not fortified shield, excuse me, fortified helmet. where he puts the grenade in the helmet and lets the grenade go off in the helmet. But that is not the same, like, at all, because whenever Steve threw himself on top of the grenade, he was expecting to die. You know, he was like, hey, this is fine. I'm going to die, but the rest of these people here are going to live. John had a plan to survive, and not only survive, but to become the hero afterwards. You know, that was never Steve Rogers' intention ever, to become the hero. Even though I do think later down the line, once he had established himself as a hero, or once other people had established him as a hero, I'd say, that once he became the selfless idiot that he is now, it was almost like he was so selfless to the point where he was selfish, because he won't let anybody else be selfless like him.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we don't see that sign of selflessness at all from John Walker, like, ever. Everything that he does is so that other people will look at him and they will want to give him power.
Definitely. I feel, yeah, definitely at that point, oh my gosh, you hit that on the, like, that nail right on the head.
Oh my God, thank you. Ah. I'm an intellectual, what can I say? I'm just kidding, sorry. But finally, I'd like to ask you, do you think that the removal of all problematic elements, meaning the removal of the right-wing propaganda, the pro-military stuff, the racism, do you think that the removal of all of that would improve the overall quality of the show? And would you enjoy it more, or would it not make a difference?
Ooh, I feel like the removal of it, in the sense of just me enjoying the show, like, absent of all, like, political opinions or personal opinions that I have, I feel like if you removed all the negative aspects of the show, like the everything you said, I feel like I would enjoy the show more. Just as a Marvel fan, a superhero fan, I would probably enjoy the show more, because it, like I said earlier, a lot of those things did take me out of my immersion and enjoying the show. But I feel like in the aspect of my personal opinions and my political opinions, I actually enjoyed watching those, like, the propaganda and the pro-militarization, because it makes me aware that as a people, as a country, we still have a lot to go by unpacking these, like, some conscious things that we put into our media. Because if it was taken out, I'd be like, wow, this is a great representation of how our country is. But I know, like, it's not. Unfortunately, our country still has a very big racism problems. We're very big on militarization. So I feel like, in the sense of me needing to be aware of how the world is, I would appreciate it more if it was, I appreciate that it exists, that the faults exist, so I could talk about the faults, and so I can talk about how we can improve from these faults in the show. So, yeah.
Right. So it's okay. So would it be great if those things weren't in there? Yes. But because these things are affecting us in real life and they're present in the show, it's important that they're there. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, okay, that makes sense. Because if they weren't there, like, you know, if we didn't see any representation of the racism or the right-wing propaganda, then it really wouldn't be as reflective of real life as it is now. And, you know, how much more realistic can you get whenever you have, like, literal super soldiers in a TV show that were, you know, created by Nazis and then other people, you know, in the military. So, you know, I feel like it's very interesting that you feel that way, but I do find myself saying that I agree, as I've been agreeing this whole podcast, because I chose you specifically because you agree with me on everything ever. But Madison, I'd like to thank you for appearing on the show. Once again, this has been Pulling Back the Curtain. Tune in next week for our next episode about astrology, featuring my good friend Anijah Wembley. Thank you so much, Madison. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And signing off.